The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter number 2, text number 12, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on June 10th, 2008, in Sydney, Australia.
Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter 2, text number 12 and 13. Grahitva mrigga shavakshya Paning markatalochana Pratyutana bivadarhe Vachapya kritanochitam. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. These are the wonderful, this is not wonderful, but absolutely unthinkable words being spoken by Daksha against Lord Shiva. This way, Daksha is our guru. He's teaching us what not to do, you see, how to deal with Vaishnava. He has eyes like a monkey's, yet he has married my daughter, whose eyes are like just who are just like those of a deer cub. Nevertheless, he did not stand up to receive me, nor did he think it fit to welcome me with sweet words. Text 13. Lupta kriya yasuchaye manine binna setave anitschanam apipyalang bhalang shudrayevo shatingiram. I had no desire to give my daughter to this person who has broken all the rules of civility. Because of not observing the required rules and regulations, he is impure. But I was obliged to hand my daughter over to him, just as one teaches the messages of the Vedas to a Shudra. Purport. A Shudra is forbidden to take lessons from the Vedas, because a Shudra, due to his unclean habits, is not worthy to hear such instructions. This is a restriction that unless one has acquired the rabbinical qualifications, one should not read the Vedic literatures. It's like the restriction that a law student should not enter a law college unless he has been graduated from all lower grades. According to the estimation of Daksha, Shiva was unclean in habits and not worthy to have the hand of his daughter, Satihi, who was so enlightened, beautiful, and chaste. The word used in this connection is binna setave, which refers to one who has broken all the regulations for good behavior by not following the Vedic principles. In other words, according to Daksha, the entire transaction of the marriage of his daughter with Shiva was not in order. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagra Jatam Sahagana Raghana Tanvitam Tam Sajiva Sadaitam Sabadhutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha. This is really offensive. To think that Shiva is not a worthy husband for his daughter. how offensive this man can be. Why would somebody become offensive like this? Actually, being offensive is stupid, especially towards a great Vaishnava. It is called hati mata, mad elephant offense. If a mad elephant comes into your garden, what happens to your little creeper that's trying to grow there? It's finished, destroyed. One step of the elephant on your creeper, finished. You see that big foot of the elephant. Therefore, we very carefully guard against Vaishnava Parad. By what method? By always being respectful to Vaishnava. You see, neglect is also an offense. You can't say, well, I'll just stay away from the Vaishnavas and that way I won't be offensive. But actually staying away is also an offense. One is not meant to neglect the Vaishnavas also. One should be very eager to associate with Vaishnavas, and one should do so in a service mood. Vaishnavas, after all, are representatives of Krishna. They are sadhus. And according to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, a sadhu is very powerful. A sadhu can, just by one moment of his association, you can achieve all perfection. This is a fact. The sadhu is very powerful. Just see the impact that Bhakti Siddhanta's association for a few brief moments had on Srila Prabhupada. Completely. Prabhupada said, practically initiated me. There was no formal ceremony. But he knew, this is my spiritual master. Just from that one meeting, you see. His whole life was changed. He was totally caught up in, you know, taking care of the family, the business, and Gandhi's movement. That was what he was into. But that one moment, those few brief moments with Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati, and everything was changed. So sometimes, because we get so much association in ISKCON, we start to take the devotees for granted. We say, yeah, he has this fault, he has that fault. You know, we have a tendency to become offensive in this way about the devotees. It's a very dangerous thing. There's a saying, familiarity breeds contempt. This is why it's said not to come too close to a spiritual master also. There's a warning. I know one of my godbrothers, he was very intelligent. He had been asked to be Prabhupada's personal servant or secretary, and he was with Prabhupada constantly. So what he would do when he would get an opportunity, he would get away for a few minutes just to beat his mind with shoes, remind himself that he was dealing with the Supreme Personality of Servant or Godhead, not an ordinary person. You see. So we have to be very careful in associating with spiritual masters and associating with Vaishnavas, because they're not ordinary people. They are very dear to Krishna. Krishna says, the Vaishnavas know nobody but me, and I know nobody but the Vaishnavas. You see. If someone tries to approach Krishna on some other basis other than being a Vaishnava, Krishna says, I don't know you. Who are you? I don't know you. You see. But the Vaishnava, he is as dear to Krishna as Krishna's own heart. There is especially the Vaishnava who is preaching. As Krishna states in the Bhagavad Gita, there's no one more dear to me than the preacher. Nor will there ever be one more dear. Well, you say, well, there's so many preachers. I mean, how one preacher could be the most dear? Is that logical? If there's thousands of preachers, millions of preachers in the history, how they could all be the most dear? I mean, you know, in material life, there's only one person who can be the most of anything. But we see in Krishna Leela how in Dwarka, every queen was the favorite queen, because every night Krishna went to that queen's palace. Every one of them, you see. He simply divided himself into 16,108 Krishnas, and every queen was the favorite queen. So if Krishna can do that for his queens, do you think he couldn't do that for his preachers? to anybody who is preaching Krishna consciousness is the most dear of all of his devotees. Krishna can do that with his preachers also. Krishna is not an ordinary man. Can you just be in one place having a relationship with one person at a time? You see, he's not like them. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is all potent. He is unlimited. His shaktis are called achincha. Achincha shakti. He can accomplish anything conceivable or even inconceivable without any effort whatsoever, because he's the Supreme, all-powerful Personality of Godhead. So what does this mean for us? It means that Krishna is available to personally reciprocate with us. Otherwise, how can Krishna declare in the Bhagavad Gita, Ananya Shintayanto Mam, Yejana Paryapasate, Tesham Nichipayuktanam, Yogachemam, Vahamyaham? How Krishna can say Vahamyaham, you see? That I personally, Prabhupada, in a lecture, Prabhupada said, Krishna says, I personally deliver to their home. You know the shloka? Krishna says, for one who worships me with unflinching devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, I preserve what he has and I carry what he lacks. And then Prabhupada expanded it in his lecture. He said, Krishna says, I personally deliver to your home. You see, home delivery service, you see. It's like people will, you know, they want a pizza, they call the pizza parlor and they get home delivery of their pizza. Very personal thing. It comes right to your door, you see. So just imagine if Krishna personally delivers to your door whatever you need. Krishna personally does it. He doesn't hire some worker to do it. Krishna personally gives you whatever you need. Just imagine what kind of relationship that is. That Krishna, just like he was the chariot driver for Arjuna, or he was the slipper bearer on his head, carrying the slipper on his head for Nanda Maharaj, you see, personally delivering the slipper to Nanda Maharaj. Krishna, to that person who worships Krishna with exclusive devotion, who has no other love for anything except for Krishna, 100% at every single level, even at the deepest, innermost part of his heart, it's still completely, purely everything for Krishna. That person, Krishna becomes his personal supplier of whatever he needs at every minute. He can never be lacking in anything, because that person who owns everything and controls everything, he's personally giving everything to that devotee. See? So would you like to have that kind of relationship with Krishna? Would you like that? That you don't need anything, material or spiritual, because whatever you need, it's right there by Krishna's personal delivery to you. Wouldn't you like that? Yeah. Well, you can have it. All you have to do is become Krishna conscious. Purely. So now we are neophyte. We are struggling, battling it out with our mind, you see. So we are a little bit Krishna conscious. You know, 1%, 2%, maybe 20%, maybe even some of us, maybe 60, you know. Who knows? It's between Krishna really knows where we're at. And we can actually see our own progress as well by how much we're becoming detached from sense desires, sense gratificatory desires, you see. Just Prabhupada says, you can actually know your own advancement. You don't have to have me tell you how advanced or lacking you are in spiritual advancement. So you can know yourself, just like during the feast, you see, they're coming around firsts, yeah, great. Seconds, yeah, great. Thirds, well, no. Especially for the older devotees, you know. Thirds, I don't think so. Because you know you're getting filled up. You see? So Prabhupada explains, in the same way you can know of how you're advancing in Krishna consciousness. Just as you know when your belly is getting filled, you can actually know. And if you don't know, that means you're not advancing. You're not there yet. You say, well, I don't really know. That means you're not there yet. But someone who's actually advancing in Krishna consciousness, they experience it. Bhakti pareshanu bhavavaraktir. You see, they experience increasingly feeling love for Krishna. When they see the deity, they feel love, you see. When they chant Hare Krishna, they feel love. When they meditate on Krishna's pastimes, they feel love for that person, you see. It's real, they feel it. It's like a boy falls in love with a girl, or a girl falls in love with a boy. A devotee feels love for Krishna. He starts to feel this spontaneous attraction to Krishna. as his Supreme Lord. That's the first thing. Bhakti, and then Pareshanubhava Raktir. Pareshanubhava, that means that he has direct perception of Krishna within everything. He starts to see Krishna within everything. When he drinks a cup of water, he thinks, ah, Krishna is the taste of the water. When he sees the sun coming up, ah, the light of the sun, Prabhashmi, Shashi Shuryayo, you see. When he sees the moon, ah, Krishna, you see. Even the sound in the ether, like that crazy, whatever it is up there. He says, ah, Krishna. Krishna says, I'm the sound in the ether. He even experiences Krishna in that thing. It's a manifestation of Krishna, you see. So the more that one advances in Krishna consciousness, you will feel how, and you will feel love for Krishna, you will experience and be aware of Krishna's presence within the atoms, between the atoms, everywhere, you see. Sarva, what is that shloka? For one who sees everything, sees me everywhere and everything in me, I'm never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. You see? So that's the second item of measuring one's progress. The third item is one becomes detached from all types of sense enjoyment. When you see the beautiful woman, instead of thinking of sex pleasure, you think, oh, I can make her a devotee. Let her, give her a book. Invite her to the temple. Teach her how to become a devotee, you see. Just like Haridas Thakur, this beautiful young girl came. He didn't think, now I can have sex with her. He thought, no, let me make her a devotee, you see. So in this way, this is how one can see that he's advancing in Krishna consciousness. So it's something real that we can, each one of us can know our own, how we're progressing in Krishna consciousness. Someone doesn't have to tell us. We can taste it, we can experience it. Actually, Krishna consciousness is delicious, just like a gulab jamun, you see. Just imagine if every minute you're relishing the most delicious gulab jamun that's ever been made in the history of the universe, you see. Just imagine every minute the sweetest gulab jamun oozing with unlimited quantities of the sweetest juice. And that's permeating your entire being, your soul, you know, just being completely blissed out and blissed and blessed at every minute, you see. So that's Krishna consciousness. When you're tasting a sweet nectar at every minute of Krishna smaranam, you see. Krishna seva, Vaishnava seva. Actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains in one of his bhajans, as soon as he hears that madanga, boom, boom, his heart dances in ecstasy, you see. Ah, kirtan. Boom, 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 you see. That enlivens his soul. He hears the kirtan, the madanga drum. As soon as he hears that madanga, oh, kirtan, you see. So, this is Krishna consciousness. This is real. This we can develop to where we're tasting the sweetest nectar at every minute. And you know, this is how our movement will grow. When we're actually tasting the nectar, then everybody else will want to taste it too. You know, people are envious. It's a natural thing. If I've got something and you don't have it, and I'm getting more happiness than you are, then you're going to want it too. So when people can actually see that these Hare Krishna people, they are tasting something that we don't have, this movement will start growing like anything. All we really have to do is, if we become Krishna conscious, the whole world will want to join us. The reason our growth is very slow is we're not very Krishna conscious. That's the reality. We're not very Krishna conscious. That's why we're having a hard time expanding the movement. You see? But the more we become Krishna conscious, well, the more we'll see this movement grow like anything. People will be begging for the opportunity to even get into the temple. I know you go to a place like Tirupati. You have to stand, you have to wait in for hours and hours just to get a darshan for 5 seconds. And even at our temple in Juhu, they have to stand a huge queue on Janmashtami just to get a darshan, for a few, you know, brief darshan of Radharasa Bihari. So that will happen more and more, that, you know, to get the darshan of Radha Gopinath, they'll have to wait a long time because there's so many people coming for the darshan. We even went to Turkey. Mataji and I went to Turkey a few years ago. I did a program at a center in downtown Istanbul. And I had a Turkish translator. We had a Turkish Bhagavad Gita. And I gave the lecture. I did a kirtan. I gave a lecture. And I said, okay, now anybody who wants a Bhagavad Gita, come forward. And they rushed the table. We sold out within 5 minutes. The people with money in their hand, and they couldn't get a book. You see, and this is a Muslim country. You see? So this is not something, you know, Hindu or this or that. This is the universal nature of the soul. Everyone is actually Jivara Sarupa Hoy, Krishnara Nichadas. Everyone is part and parcel of Krishna. This is who they really are. Everyone is a devotee. They just forgot. So it is natural that we will attract thousands and millions of people eventually to join this movement. Eventually, that day will come when the high court judges will in fact be wearing tilak, you see. That will come. When the prime minister goes, Hari Bol, Prabhus, it's time for the, you know, time for the session of the Congress or whatever they call it here, you know. That day will come. We just have to become Krishna conscious ourselves. More and more Krishna conscious. We read yesterday the wonderful Bhagavatam purport out there at the farm, you know. It was so wonderful purport, how the devotee was just diving, just by remembering Krishna, he was going into deeper and deeper, 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 deeper ecstasy, just by remembering Krishna. So how much juice do we get when we think Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill? You know what Prabhupada told us? I've told some of you this, some of you, but in L.A., Prabhupada said, Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill, and you were thinking, maybe, you see, maybe he lifted it, maybe he didn't. See, that way we're not tasting the nectar because we're still polluted by skepticism. How you can dive deep into Leela Smaranam when you doubt that Krishna even really did it? You see what I'm saying? That's why we have to hear from advanced Vaishnavas who are absolutely convinced that Krishna is indeed the Supreme Personality of God and he's not some mythological figure. You see, we have to hear from senior devotees because conviction is a contagious disease. So the more we hear from advanced devotees who are absolutely convinced of these truths, you see, then we will become convinced. Yasya deve para bhaktir yata deve tata guru tasyaite kyatita hyata prakashyante mahatmanaha. Only unto those souls who have unflinching faith in the words of Guru and Krishna are all the imports of Vedic knowledge revealed. So, we have to find people with unflinching faith and we have to learn from them, we have to serve them, you see. In this way, we will develop unflinching faith. This is what we had when Prabhupada was here. We had this opportunity to meet a person who had absolutely total unflinching faith. So we served him, we learned from him, we gave our lives to him. And in this way, that wonderful disease called Krishna consciousness infected our hearts, you see. So now it is our duty to make this available to the entire planet. Prabhupada wants us to make a spiritual revolution, wants us to ignite a spiritual revolution on this planet. Distribute books, distribute the holy names, distribute prasadam, make devotees, train people how to make their homes into temples. That in every home, you can go on a japa walk in the morning and you're ding, 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 in every house, the arti bell, ding, 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 you see. That is our goal, you see. That everyone will be worshipping Krishna. And the temple is the place where they will come and get trained how to make their home into an ashram. Because they'll see the model here. This is the example, you see, of how to create a spiritual atmosphere. They'll come here, they'll learn, and they'll make a little altar in their home, and they'll learn how to cook their food and offer to Krishna, how to chant nicely and study in this way. our movement will spread and inundate the entire planet in due course of time. So, I can ask if there's any question. Yes, Prabhu.
I have a question from the Purport where Prabhupada says about Shudras not being qualified to study Vedas.
Yes. What you have a question about his statement about Shudras not being qualified. Yeah. Yes, because Prabhupada's purport is there, the sutras have access by the mercy of Prabhupada. Actually, kalo shudra sambhava, we're all shudra. We're not qualified to read the Vedic wisdom, but because Prabhupada's purports are there, therefore by his mercy we all have the access to the Vedic wisdom, everyone. By the wonderful purports of his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada, for your purports. We would be totally lost without them, Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much, Srila Prabhupada. So it's because of Prabhupada's purports that everyone has the access to this knowledge. If it wasn't for his purports, we would be lost, Prabhu. Yeah. Questions more? Yeah.
We're talking about like the sadhu or something we heard about a sadhu. And there's that verse in Bhagavatam Tichivakarunika that the symptoms of a sadhu is that he is tolerant,
yes. Who?
Sometimes we see
some of us.
We're not interested in preaching Krishna consciousness to other people.
That means Kanishta Adhikari.
So can we still be a sadhu even though we may not have some of those qualities?
Yeah, there are different levels. Prabhupada actually, it's interesting. I mean, some of his purports are amazing. In the Upadeshamrita, he says there's three different kinds of pure devotees, Kanishta Adhikari, Majjhima Adhikari, and Uttama Adhikari. So yes, we respect anyone who's trying to become Krishna conscious. We give them the respect of being a sadhu, even if they're not a very high level sadhu. Even if they don't have all the qualities, they're just making an attempt. We give them all the respect and honor that is worthy of sadhu. That is Vaishnava culture. Even someone who's just making a bumbling attempt to be a devotee, we give him the respect of being a sadhu. That encourages him to advance. But we should know the difference also. Which devotees are the most senior, who can give us the most help in our pathway? We should know the difference between who is more advanced, who is equally advanced, and who is less than advanced than ourselves, so we can know where to go to get to where we can advance. But in terms of our own dealing with them, we should be very kind, like you say, tolerant. So if someone doesn't have the quality of tolerance, we should be show them by our own tolerance of them how to become tolerant. You see? Just because they're intolerant, should we become intolerant? No. If someone is intolerant, then we should teach them by our tolerance, and they'll be inspired by our tolerance so they can also become tolerant by our own example. You understand? Any other questions? So everybody's ready now to give everything to Krishna. Every thought, every word, every deed, in all times, places, and circumstances. You're all ready? Everyone's ready? Yeah?
I'm not ready yet.
Not ready yet? Yeah, that's the sad reality. In fact, our acharyas sing like that, you know. That song I did the other night at the campfire, you know. Hari, hari, people. Although I've come to this human form, my Lord, I've spent my life uselessly. I did not care for Radha and Krishna. And so I swallow poison knowingly. Hare Krishna mantra comes straight from Krishna Loka, but with chanting I have no connection. Day and night I'm burning in this dark world without working to make the correction. You see, such wonderful poetry from Narottam. incredible poetry. Hare Krishna, see, Lord Krishna comes as Sachi's son. Balaram descends as Nitai. By chanting, the wretched have all been saved, including Jagai and Madai. O my Lord, O son of King Nanda, together with Vrishabhanu's daughter, I've got no shelter but Radha and Krishna. Humbly praise Narottam Das Thakur. So Narottam, he is praying, he is lamenting. That although I've come to this human form, I'm drinking poison knowingly. I'm not working to make, I'm burning in this dark world. I'm not even working to make the correction. So is he talking about himself? Not really. He's talking about us. He's in a very humble way teaching us to understand what is our actual position, how fallen we actually are. You see. So we have to realize by Narottam's mercy what is our actual fallen condition and then pray for the mercy. If the most wretched Jagai and Madai can become delivered, then there is hope for me. You see. This we have to understand. So we have to take advantage of the mercy of Shri Shri Gaurinitai, the mercy of Shri Shri Radha Gopinath, and get out of our fallen condition. So, that being said, we'll stop here. Thank you very much for your kindly taking care of us here on these transit stops. We're making one more on Friday. We'll be coming through again Friday afternoon, and then we're leaving early morning on Saturday. But we'll be giving some lecture here, I assume, somewhere on Friday night, either a home program or the temple. I don't know what will be arranged, but something that leaves some kind of a lecture program on Friday evening. So we thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.